Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's great to be with you, and thank you for 8 great years. And I have to say that to Bill, too. Bill Hubbard is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. William S. Hubbard, the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy and The Medical Privacy Rule, among other important publications that he's produced. Bill, as you know, is our top human resources expert in the Brain Trust, in over 500-member Brain Trust. And he's been with us almost 8 years, almost as long as I've been on the air. He's been right here as a steadfast supporter of all the things that you and I do. Nobody does it better. Bill Hubbard, welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning. Glad to be here, and congratulations on your anniversary.
Well,
always glad to see good things come along and to stay. A lot of times it seems like there's something that I like that comes along, and it just doesn't seem to continue, and you've got some good holding power here, Jim.
Well, I appreciate it. So I'm sort of like that TV series that you hope will never end, like MASH or one of those shows.
You're the friends of small businessmen.
Well, and I have plenty of friends. There's no question about that, because folks like you and our other Brain Trust members, we've met some great folks. And you know, Bill, it's so impressive to me how you and the others have stepped up to the table and said, you know what, maybe I'll sell a book, maybe I won't, but I want to go help these folks. I have some things to say that I hope that will help them, and I think that's good for everybody. And so you guys show up and you drop your pearls before us, and we take away what we can. And so on behalf of all my audience, over these almost 8 years, in your case, Bill, you and I are going to celebrate our 8th anniversary together. Probably, what is it, January, February, I've forgotten, something like that. And so, anyway, on behalf of all of us, we thank you.
Well, you're very welcome, and always glad to be part of the process.
Well, let's talk about compensating workers for the time that they spend. And in some ways, Bill, you would think this discussion about when to compensate people, you would think it'd be pretty intuitive, wouldn't you? But the world has gotten a little more complicated, and it's gotten so complicated that the Supreme Court actually had to weigh in on this discussion, didn't they?
Well, very literally. Very literally. The issue went all the way to the Supreme Court. And it dealt with the particular case that kind of prompted our discussion was employees at a food packing or meat packing facility. And part of the process for their work activity, they had to put on very specific safety garments. And then they had to go from their locker room, I guess it was, to through the plant to an area where they actually performed their work. And through custom and through the way the work had been performed there, they were paid a portion of their time as they put on or donned their safety wear. But then they were not paid for the time spent traveling across the plant to their actual work area. Now, offhand, I'm not sure how large of a facility
they were
is.
Paid for the time that they put on the uniforms.
Put on, well, it was more than just a uniform. It was like specific
equipment.
Garments.
They were paid during that time.
They were paid
but
during
then,
that
but
time.
But then they had to almost clock out for the 15 minutes it took to cross the plant?
In a sense, yeah. And I'm not sure the precise timeline, but that's...
I've never heard of that. That's weird.
It is a little bit
strange. Usually if you clock in, you clocked in.
And, well, there's a federal law federal laws that deal with this. One is the Fair Labor Standards Act, and then a modification of this one is called, referred to as the Portal-to-Portal Act. Portal-to-Portal Act. And these two regulations, laws and the regulations that define them, define and deal with this particular issue. And the practice had been that they were paid to put the garments and the safety gear on, but through the portal-to-portal definition, the time spent traveling to part of the work area was unpaid, and then, in effect, the clock turned back on for them. And now the court has said, basically, you get to work, you start the clock, you start the process, it keeps on going.
Right.
So
it's not like they can do something else while they're traveling over there, if you don't want to pay them for that time, put the dressing room closer to their work.
there's various issues like that. Yeah, that all come into play.
Common sense things, intuitive things. You know, this is not about somebody not. I mean, this it doesn't make any sense to fight something like that. And companies that do that, Bill, are shooting all of us in the foot. Anytime you require the courts to make a common sense decision, you've made a mistake.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot more money spent in the process of running this through the legal system than what potentially was saved in terms of not paying some of the wages.
Yeah, that's just wrongheadedness. So the court said you got to pay these people.
Court says you got to pay these people.
Right.
And the key part, as I got into, you know, a part of our discussion, I write an article that deals with this, and we talk about that. And my thought was, well, there's a whole host of other similar rules that guide what's referred to as compensable time for which employees should be paid, and time that is not compensable, time for which employees should not be paid. So as we continue our discussion, I wanted to touch on some of those.
Well, absolutely. Well, for example, one of the things you point out is receiving medical care.
When an employee's hurt on the job, then that time spent getting medical care or waiting for medical care during the regular work hours is also time that the employee should receive pay. So if an employee's hurt on the job today, the time that you send him to the doctor and he comes back, he should still be on the clock.
Or if you say, okay, in order to continue working here, everybody's, you know, you got to get a physical.
Yeah.
What about that?
If that's a required activity that occurs during the workday, then that would be a covered element.
For example, let's say somebody wants to become, you know, a shareholder or whatever, and in order to do that, they have to have a certain insurance level. You know, the company wants to insure these people because they're now, you know, at a management level. And so you got to go to the doctor and get a physical. Would that be considered to be compensable?
Well, very likely it would be if it's required by the employer and it's scheduled during the workday.
What if you pull somebody out and said, okay, you got to take a blood test right now. Go downtown, take a blood test.
I would say that would be compensable as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So where it's directed by the employer and where it occurs during the workday, then it's time that should be compensated by the employer.
Right. And, of course, in that first example I gave, at that level, the person's probably on salary anyway. They're probably not an hourly worker who's being promoted. But still, the idea is, as you were saying, if it's directed by the company, it's compensable. We're going to have some more examples from our good friend Bill Hubbard right after these messages. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. I hope you will. Comes on Sunday by email, get you ready for the week ahead. And also, we've got a blog. If you can't wait till Sunday to get something from me, I know many of you can. You just can't go that long. You have to have something more often than that. You got to have a Blassingame fix, right? And I know that's pretty scary, isn't it? Anyway, we got our blog that we'll send you every day, Monday through Friday. We'll send you a blog that'll give you an article and the four interviews that we've done today. We'll send that to you if you want us to. And you can do all that right there on the website at smallbusinessadvocate.com and lots of other stuff that'll help you, I think, have the maximum opportunity to be successful, including a whole body of work that Bill Hubbard has deposited with us over the years and just some really good stuff there, articles and archives. Go back and look at the topic, anything that's on your mind with regard to human resources, you'll find it right there, I think, that Bill has helped us with, and I hope you'll check it out. And also, I hope you'll go directly to the horse's mouth by going to his website. Bill, give it to us, please.
www.hubbard.com. That's H-U-B-B-A-R-T-T. And there's links there to a second website that I have that deals with medical privacy, referred to as medicalprivacy.info. And we'll be happy to answer a quick question if we can. And Ray mentioned Jim's name in the program, and we'll try to give you some basic information over the phone and point you in the right direction on an issue if you don't find it in one of the archive articles.
Thank you for that, Bill. Thank you for making that available. Let's get back to our compensatory working time. You know, Bill, I was thinking earlier, when I was a young pup in high school, I flipped burgers. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, the burger company I work for is a national chain. They didn't have to pay me minimum wage. Minimum wage was a dollar and a nickel, or a dollar ten, I've forgotten. And all they paid me was like 85 cents an hour. Now I was glad to get off the farm, so I didn't care what they paid me almost, but still, they didn't pay me minimum wage, and I always wondered why they didn't have to. The other thing that they didn't do is when we'd have to clean up when we worked the night shift, we had to clean up, and so there was part of that cleanup time that because it took an hour or so to get everything cleaned out that they didn't pay us for. And I was too young and stupid to know that I probably should have gotten paid. And so I didn't start any kind of trouble or anything. But I always felt like they should have paid us for that time.
Well, I would have some concerns about it.
Yeah. But yeah. Of course, now remember this was,
now.
Remember, this was back before the war, Bill. This was in the dark ages, you know. Things were different back then. But anyway, I wonder about now.
Well, a couple of things that you've identified there. One is regarding the, I'll call it a student or learner wage, that is a sub-minimum wage, is permissible.
Really?
Under the requirement.
Even now?
There's a defined minimum wage by the federal, 515.
515, right.
And then there are state minimum wages. And in Illinois, for example, where I'm located, that's now 650.
Right. There are many states that have their own, and some cities, I think, that have their own minimum wage.
And some cities. So there are some variations, and whichever provides the better protection for the employee, then the employer should honor that.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, these laws allow for a sub-minimum wage for a student or learner, so like somebody who might be in a work permit.
Mm-hmm.
And they also allow for employees who are receiving tips to receive
right.
a lesser.
I understand that, yeah.
So those are two allowable minimum wage elements that would be permissible, and one of those could have applied to your circumstance.
Well, I was a student, but that was only a technicality. I was doing the work of a full-time. I mean, there were full-time people who were not students who were doing the same work I was doing.
Okay. Well,
so I think they were just beating me out of 20 cents an hour is what I think they were doing. But anyway.
Okay.
But anyway, but I hear you. No, that's a good point. That's an excellent point that people need to know about. What are some other things that we need to know about compensating our employees?
You mentioned the cleanup area, and typically cleanup or preparation, if it is directly related to that essential function or the primary duty of that job, then that typically would be a compensable time activity.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah.
So there's another one. One of the key issues, now this part of this is controlled by the Fair Labor Standards Act, which defines minimum wage, which we've talked about. It defines child labor, which we've briefly touched on. There's a whole lot more issues there, but we've briefly touched on that. And it also says that employees that are covered by this law should record their hours worked, which basically means we should keep a time slip or a time clock or some documentation of what their time is. And we should pay them time and a half for time worked over 40 hours in a week. So that's the minimum requirements of the Fair Labor Standards Act.
Mm-hmm.
Then as we interpret this issue, then these questions of what's working time and what's not working time come into play. One of the issues is that if an employee is suffered or permitted to work, then they should be paid.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have, for example, an employee who comes in early and is actually doing tasks, or stays late
mm-hmm.
and is actually doing tasks, or takes work home and is actually doing tasks, and we know of that, and we're aware of it, and we're permitting it, under the law, we're obligated to pay that person for that time actually worked.
What about a commissioned salesperson who is paid 8 to 5, so to speak, but makes a night call, And they go out at night because that's the only time the customer can have them come out. But yet they're going to get commission as well. What about that? And I've only got about 20 seconds.
An outside commission salesperson is going to be exempt from the law. There's the salaried exempt issue, and
right.
this would come under that kind of broad umbrella that they're very likely going to be exempt from the requirements of this law.
They're going to be seen to be, since the commission opportunity is there, they're going to be seen to be getting compensation from that.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Bill, thanks for being here. Good job. Thanks for all this time you've given us over the years, and we're looking forward to eight more.
Next month, we'll talk about blogging.
There you go. All right. I like that. Bill Hubbard, ladies and gentlemen. That's Hubbard, 2Bs2Ts.com. It's a good site. I hope you check it out. Quick break. Right back with our good buddy Bill Brandt right after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.